The Sportscast, May 1st, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, you can visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest and greatest when it comes to sports news. Today's sponsor is Insta Bible app, Crave versus in pitchers. You can get the download on Insta Bible app in the App Store. Even though the current NBA season is still technically suspended due to the coronavirus pandemic, it returns this year seems less and less likely each day passing. Team executives are starting to feel the pressure, frustrated with the lack of information from the league and pushing it for an outright cancellation of the season so everyone can focus on safely resuming play next season. We got Kailu Borden on the line. Kailu, welcome to the Sportscast.
I appreciate it, as always.
Kailu, NBA season was suspended back in March. Rudy Gobert was the first victim of the coronavirus in the NBA. And now we're in May. Obviously, Adam Silver said no decisions will be made until this month. Some executives, not Mark Cuban, are thinking about canceling it. What are your thoughts?
I think it's going to be really, really hard to play, especially when the public doesn't have the adequate tests that they have. Congress doesn't have the tests that they need. The general public doesn't have the tests they need. 15,000 tests. It's going to be really, really hard to get. I'm hopeful that there are games as a fan of the sport, but it's going to be really, really hard for them to be able to play NBA games.
NBA team executives and players' agents spoke to CNBC yesterday in recent weeks about the challenges and resuming play. They say team owners are concerned with liability issues and are conflicted about whether or not to give up on the current season. The individual spoke on condition of anonymity, as they aren't authorized to discuss league matters publicly. Billions of dollars are on the line if the NBA can't rescue its season. NBA team splits the roughly $2 billion per year in national TV money the NBA receives from ESPN and Turner Sports. But clubs also gain revenue from local media deals with regional sports news. How much of an impact would this be economically for the NBA?
I think it's going to be huge, because there was an ESPN piece about how sports contributes so much to the economy. They were thinking about all the stores that are owned next to team facilities that are owned by regular fans that support the team's product. So that's going to be lost, even though the television revenue is great. A lot of it's based on, like, how many people come to games. And, like, yeah, the big market teams are going to be able to fund the bill, but some of the small market teams still have to pay their players, and some of those teams are really going to struggle.
What was the pay cut that the NBA players were going to get, I think, by May 15th? Was it, like, 15 or 25%?
I think it was the players. The players agreed to it. So in their CBA, they have something called, if it's like war or something, or it's like a special circumstance, the owners can withhold money. I think they can either restructure to their contract next year, or I think the money is lost. So depending on if the players want to pay.
And keep in mind,
players have gotten 90% of their salary. So
yeah, it's so far it's been good. I think like their last big paycheck was April 15th. I think they get paid monthly, right?
Yeah, they get paid the 1st and the 15th of every month, and no playoffs.
The last one on April 15th was not that bad. I think they got the full paycheck, and a whole lot of these players have endorsement deals, and a lot of them have contributed to paying the arena workers. I believe almost every team like has a player, or the front office has paid like the arena workers, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Most of them has played them at least through the end of April, some through the end of May, and some through the end of the rest of the year. So that's true.
Another alternative that Adam Silver has brought up was to have a smaller tournament or smaller playoffs to play. Have it played in Orlando or in Las Vegas. What do you think about that format?
I think it's great, but as to all the format, especially with the lack of testing and like some of the coaches like Terry Stotts, Greg Popovich, over 60, it's just, it's going to be really hard for the NBA. I mean, a lot can change, but seeing the amount of people that can't get tested and seeing the amount of people that it was one thing when the NBA got tested originally for Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. That was about 50 tests. But to get 15,000 tests and the lack of testing by the government and the lack of testing by the regular citizens is really going to be hard. And the NBA players are going to have to be away from their fam for 3 months. And if I'm on the Hawks, what's the incentive for me to come back if my season's already over? Yeah, I love basketball, but I mean, what's the incentive for you to really come back if your season? I don't know if you saw what Steve Kerr, they basically, you know, contend that the season's over for them. If the NBA tell them to come back, they're going to come back. But they already had exit meetings basically suggesting that the season's over. So,
what was that comment Steve Kerr made this week? I heard Steve was saying that the front office was acting like the season was over.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, it was kind of intriguing to hear that. But I guess the only question to come back, like the only reason, is to determine an NBA champion. Do you think that's a good reason?
No, I think it's great. I think it's great for the playoff teams like LeBron James. I want to come back for the playoff teams. It's just, you know, the NBA, you know, I think it's they got to reach 70 games to get the local television revenue that they get from the TV deals with the local, not ESPN and TNT, because those are guaranteed. But they got to reach 70 games to get those money from the local revenue. And it's a lot for the cities. You also got to factor that in as well. For you to get the other players to come back, and the players aren't going to want to just go straight to the playoffs. It's one thing to be in shape, but it's another completely different thing to be off since March 11 and actually go out there in the playoffs. You increase the rate of injury. It's not going to be a perfect situation, but if you just come back and you go straight to the playoffs, you're basically increasing the odds of players just getting hurt, because players haven't played in 3 months. There's some players that say they haven't shot a basketball in 3 months, so that's a little concerning if you just go straight to the playoffs. And I don't just think that's the best course if they're able to come back.
This is what I would do. I will take a month, like this month of May, every player will have a month to train, right? Now, either to have like the top eight of each conference play in the playoffs or tournament, whatever you want to call it, in June, be played in Orlando or in Vegas or in a, I believe one of the options was Bahamas. What do you think about my proposition?
I think it makes sense, but where it think is that you're gonna have a bunch of people coming to a city in Orlando, and I just think it's gonna be really, really hard as a fan.
No fans though. No fans allowed. Just the teams.
I know there's no fans, but it's gonna be hard because the NBA has a lot of people. There's a lot of coaches over 60. And I just think that for the NBA, as they go on, even though they want the season continue, there's just a lot of logistics. I mean, you got to have the coaches there. You got to have the support staff. You got to have the hotels there. You need league officials there. The NBA PA has to be there. She's over 60, so she automatically has to get tested. I don't know how they're going to get tests from the government when it just aren't that many tests to go around. So it's just going to be really hard. You got to have a lot of tests. The NBA was talking about 15,000 tests. And I just don't know how the public – I mean, the NBA is a private entity, but I just don't understand how the NBA is going to be able to get that many amount of tests.
Well, NBA
– it could change, but
– NBA and its teams could play could pay for those tests. I know there's a lot of testing kits that you could get your – could find out in 15 minutes or less. Obviously, like, the NBA has to invest in it and obviously get those machines out there. But – you were saying about hotels. Orlando and Vegas, they both have hotels. I mean, they got plenty of hotels and plenty of room, especially in Disney where no one's there.
No, I'm not saying there's not room, but I'm saying, you know, there's always a situation with players that, you know, you can't account for, you know, let's say a player's family member gets sick. You'd have to go out there. They have to go home. Now they have to get tested when they come back. They already said Adam Silver is not going to take away a test for when health professionals can't get tested. It's just, it's hard pressure for them to be able to take a test away from people that can't get it. So So the Tets are going to have to get ramp it up to scale, I would think, for the NBA to think about coming back.
Kailu, if you could have a chance, please correct your reception. I'm not sure if he's standing near a window or something. Back to the NBA. What has LeBron James said? I heard something that he said. He wants to have like the season concluded.
I think that LeBron James wants to come back because I've always said he has 3 to 4 more prime years left in him. But look, LeBron James senses. He's 35. He's in his 17th year. The Lakers have the second best record. Him and Anthony Davis have been gelling well this year. Danny Green, the veterans, Dwight Howard's been revenge from the first stint. Now, God knows what happened in the first stint. I can't talk about that. But, it's a situation where LeBron realizes he has, years ahead of him. He has, less years ahead of him. He's 35 years old. He just senses the opportunity. There's a special team that he has with the Lakers, second best record in the league. He doesn't want this year canceled if games can be played.
Something to definitely look at. Sounds like LeBron wants to come back. But in a perfect world, Kailu, if we had all the testing, what location you want to see this little mini playoff tournament? Vegas, Orlando, or at the Bahamas?
I don't care where it's played personally. I just hope that I don't care where it's played personally. I'd rather games be played, so I don't care where it's played personally. Orlando would be great because ESPN has a complex there, but and Vegas would be great. Vegas would be great too in a normal circumstance. But looking at it now, based on the amount of cases, I would say Orlando.
I would say Orlando. I don't want to go into which state has the most cases, but I think Orlando feels like calmer. Versus Vegas, it feels like a little bit too busy. A lot could happen there, a lot of damage. But I would like to have a thing in NBA. Anyways, well, please follow us on thesportscast.net to figure out what's going to happen with Adam Silver. I know he'll make some announcements this week or next week, so we'll definitely keep you guys up to date what happens because this has to be concluded. It could come to a point where this season is totally disbanded. League One in Europe, which is French league of this huge French league up in France, soccer, they've canceled their league. The Chinese, the CBA has not resumed. The KBL hasn't resumed at all. So this is pretty interesting. Football is a few months away. I don't see football canceling. What do you think, Kylie?
I just think I don't think that football wants to cancel, but they do have a contingency plan to not have any buys, not have any Super Bowl. I don't think to be honest with you, I love sports, but I don't think these leagues really have a choice. I think you got to just follow the health professionals. Roger Goodell doesn't want to cancel, and it's one thing with the draft to have all your players and things, but just like the NBA, even though the players can train on their own, they're not allowed to practice 4-on-4, 5-on-5. So you got to get the team back eventually. You got to have some kind of training camp for the NFL. And how are you going to get players that have all that training camp in the league? Yeah, they're being paid a lot of money, but how are you going to get them to leave their families? Football with no fans, that, sounds great, but the owners are not going to want that. And I don't know how you get college football players to play, especially when they're not being, paid. But that's another thing. But, it's going to be hard for the NFL to play, but they got it going as planned now, but it's going to be hard for them to play in the fall.
Sticking with football, Jaguars are they have signed former Redskin Chris Thompson, running back. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's good for the Jaguars. Their quarterback is going to be Gardner Mitchell, so maybe they could have a 1-2 punch there, something like that. But I don't really expect big things out of that team because the Jaguars is just not really well managed.
What do you think about Cam Newton going to the Jaguars? Do you think that's a big possibility?
I just don't see the fit for Cam. I mean, I don't really see the fit personally for Cam in Jacksonville. Gardner Mitchell is there. I don't really see if they would want to do that. If they seem to like Gardner Mitchell, they brought in Nick Foles. Then they went with Gardner Mitchell. I just don't see the fit for Cam in Jacksonville because I don't think that's a roster ready to win now. And I don't think that Cam's going to be willing to go to a roster that's not willing to win now unless he just wants the money then.
How about Andy Dalton to Jacksonville?
I don't really see the fit there. I mean, he got released by the Bengals after a couple of playoff runs. Last year they struggled, obviously. But I don't really see the fit in Jacksonville. I just think that would stunt in Gardner Mitchell's growth. I just think they need to build around Gardner Mitchell's growth. Either be all in with Gardner Mitchell or just drop the quarterback next year. There's pretty good quarterbacks next year coming out. So they have to just stick with Gardner Mitchell. And they're not going to be very good this year. So stick with Gardner Mitchell and see what they can get out of that.
Gardner Minshew, I mean, I've been hearing some mixed signals from Jacksonville that Gardner's not the man. Do you think he's the man or think he needs one more season to prove everyone that he is the man?
I think if he's not the man, they're going to be in the market next year for Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I don't think they're going to be very good this year because their division improved. The Colts got better. They added DeForest Buckner, which is going to help their defense. They got Phillip Rivers there. He's going to be their guy until they get another quarterback. The Texans should be solid. The Titans are coming off the AFC Championship game. They're going to bump down a bit. But that division is going to be competitive. So Jacksonville is going to be the worst team in their division. They're going to be picking in the top three or four next year. And they're going to have their chance at the quarterback if they don't like Gardner Mitchell.
Cam Newton to the Patriots. How does that sound for you?
I don't think the Patriots are doing it. I think that they're going to stay with the quarterback that they have. I don't think that they're going to do that. I think their quarterback is very unproven. They have now Jarrett Stidham. But I think I think that's all smokescreen created by the media. I honestly personally think that they're going to stay with the quarterback they have unless they go into, you know, cramp and they don't really like the quarterback. But I think they're going to stay with the quarterback.
Also, don't forget about Brian Hoyer. I mean, he's there. I mean, he could start.
I would be hard-pressed to think that Jarrett Stidham, maybe he loses the job with Brian Hoyer. But I think that job is going to be won ultimately by Jarrett Stidham. I think that Coach Bill Belichick is going to look for Brian Hoyer to push Jarrett Stidham, but I think he should be able to win the job.
Let's go in the Packers draft. NFL draft was this past weekend. The biggest pick of the weekend was Jordan Love to the Green Bay Packers. Kailu, tell me. I know it's been a few days that you had to marinate this and digest it. What are your thoughts as of today?
I thought it was really good the Packers picked Jordan Love. Future succession plan. A lot of people were crushing Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers has had two collarbone injuries in the last 3 years. He went 13-3 last year. Was really good for the team. I still think he has a couple years, you know, ahead of him. But it's a situation where Green Bay saw the opportunity. I don't think it should be a negative for Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to replace him right away. He can sit there and learn from him. That's going to be great for Jordan Love to get there to learn from Aaron Rodgers. So I just think that it's a situation where Green Bay saw that they can get their future in 3 years. If he grows and develops early, Green Bay could always trade him. There's going to be plenty of teams that's going to need a quarterback coming up. Five or six teams always need a first-round quarterback. We could always trade him for something we need, get a Super Bowl out of that. And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play well, we can always have our successor. But I was more disappointed that Green Bay didn't at least try to get another receiver behind Davante Adams out of all seven rounds. That was a little puzzling.
Brett Favre was interviewed on the Rich Eisen show this past week, and he was saying he said Aaron and I have a great relationship, and we've talked about it. Obviously, he's a little disappointed. And he said, like the whole conversation that he got out of Aaron was the word disrespect. And so is the message that it sends to Aaron. What are your thoughts about Favre's comments? And do you really think Aaron Rodgers is disappointed over this whole Jordan Love pick?
I don't think that he's disappointed over the Jordan Love pick. I think it's more disappointing that out of all seven rounds, they basically let 30 receivers go ahead of Aaron Rodgers. And they haven't drafted a receiver since 2005. They've had really good success with second-round receivers, in particular Davante Adams in the second round. They've had success with Randall Cobb also, Jordy Nelson. The list goes on, Donald Driver. They've had really good success with drafting in the second round, and that's where you show organizational scouting, where you can get first-round talent in the second round. But it was more disappointing that they didn't get a receiver at all in the draft. They let receiver after receiver go, even in the second round. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is disappointed with the Jordan Love pick. I think what he has more of a gripe is where they just, you know, out of every seven, all seven rounds, they didn't address the receiver position at all, a number two receiver at all, while they let the 49ers load up. And see, that's not the position, but they let the 49ers get another receiver and Trent Williams, and you just lost to them in an NFC Championship game, and you didn't address the receiver position behind Davante Adams. So I don't think he's upset about the Jordan Love pick. More to do that the Packers didn't address that second wide receiver position.
I would have not been disappointed. I think Aaron Rodgers needs to understand he's 36, and like you were saying, two collarbone injuries. I mean, he could play till he's 42, but there is some red flags. You know, there's things that slow down his game in like the very past years, and he's injury prone. So he should not be disappointed. It's going to happen. Could Green Bay could have waited like till next year or like 2 years to make that pick, Kailu?
No, because they were saying as a quarterback you really love, you just got to go on the market and get it. If your quarterback's 36 and he's had two injuries in the last 3 years at Green Bay, you know, no hard feelings. It's the National Football League, not the NBA, where the NBA, you know, you can have one more year with your player. You like him like they did with Kobe. You could bring back celebratory. That's all fine. But in the National Football League, you have a hard cap, and these endings don't end beautifully in football. We see this all the time. You don't get the ending like Peyton Manning where you go out and win a Super Bowl. So I just think it's Green Bay feeling like they really love Jordan Love. Maybe they could groom him behind Rodgers for 2 or 3 years. If he's ready before that, they could trade him for something they really need. And if he's not, and if Aaron Rodgers still continues to play well, then still be in a Super Bowl hunt.
I do agree with Kailu. NFL is not for long. It's different. Your years go by really quick, and at 36, it's time to look ahead. Here were the Green Bay picks this past weekend. Jordan Love, of course, was the first. And then the 62nd round, they got running back A.J. Dillon. They got Josiah DeGuara from Cincinnati. Kamal Martin, he's a linebacker. Offensive line, John Runyon. Center, Jake Hansen from Oregon. Offensive tackle, Hyman Stefanik from Indiana. Vernon Scott, TCU. And edge rusher, Jonathan Garvin. No receivers. Kailu, what are your thoughts about over these picks?
I thought it was a little questionable second round A.J. Dillon. I like him there. He's more of a physical bruiser. He has really, really good speed and tremendous upside. But we have Aaron Jones. He had a breakout year last year. And our running back, Jamal Adams, yeah, he's ineffective in short yards, and we need maybe a bruiser back. But right there, it's just questionable that they didn't take a receiver. And also, they could have took an offensive line. We lost Brian Bulaga. I know we added Rick Wagner, but they could have took a wide receiver there. They were playing on the board. They also could have took an offensive line. I mean, they took an inside linebacker in Kamal Martin, but there was better linebackers that I felt that they could have took. They lost Blake Martinez in free agency. So it was a little question of why they didn't address certain positions, like wide receiver. They didn't address the offensive line, right tackle. And they could have got some more team speed. But it was overall a very blue-collar draft. And if I had to give it a letter grade, it would be a C+. But that's it.
That's not – it's like a medium score. I mean, they passed but didn't get the B or A. Which wide receiver would you have picked for Green Bay?
I mean, I don't remember right now because it's a little thing. But I would have definitely taken an established number two who's ready to come in and help Green Bay right now, because coming off the NFC Championship game, there's only so many bites you have at the apple left. I mean, like we said before, like Aaron Rodgers is, you know, 36. And even if I don't think he's going to be falling off anytime soon, he had a good year last year. And I still think he has 3 to 4 more years. But the NFC is getting better. The Cowboys added CeeDee Lamb. The 49ers got better. Trent Williams is a huge addition. They lost Joe Staley in retirement. They added Trent Williams, which is really huge for them. Seattle's always there with Russell Wilson. There was competitive. Minnesota's right in your division. So I just think there's a situation where even with the extra playoff team, there's a lot of teams in the NFC that's going to be competing. You only have so many bites at the apple. So if you're Green Bay, you have to have that sense of urgency for your quarterback.
Who do you think will start for Chicago, Foles or Trubisky?
I think Nick Foles is the person going to start. I think Matt Nagy's hoping that Mitch Trubisky gets pushed by Nick Foles, and Mitch Trubisky ends up winning the job to show some fire and to show a little bit more competitive edge and show a little more chip to himself. But I think Nick Foles is going to ultimately win the job. I don't think he's going there to be a backup. Nick Foles has won 4 playoff games since 2017. I think the Bears have won that since the 80s. So Nick Foles is definitely going there to start, and I'm putting my money on Nick Foles to start that job.
With Bears, Packers, and Minnesota, who will win the NFC North?
Oh, I'm sticking with Green Bay. I mean, 13-3 last year. The Darius Smith, Preston Smith made a really tremendous impact on our defense. Kirk Cousins, they went 0-2 against the Green Bay Packers last year. I think it comes down to head-to-head. The Lions are far off. I think Matt Patricia will probably fire this year because I don't think they're going to be good enough in a division. I think the Bears are going to be around. You know, it's early. We have a lot of time, but I think the Bears will finish around 500. The Vikings will win around 10 games. I think Green Bay will win around 12. And I think it will come down to head-to-head, Kirk Cousins against Aaron Rodgers. Those games, NFC North and the NFC East, usually come down to head-to-head games, and that's where I give Green Bay the edge, the head-to-head battle.
Lions chose Okudu, center, cornerback. You think that was the right pick for them?
No, I think it's a great pick. I think he's the best corner in the draft. I just don't think that the Lions have a lot around them. I think Matthew Stafford is going to have a terrific bounce back year, but outside of Okudah and outside of Matthew Stafford, I just don't think there's much there. Matt Patricia is going to have the pressure to win. And because they're in the division with the Vikings, who beat the Saints last year in the wildcard game, Green Bay won 13 games. Maybe they come down a little bit to like 11 wins, 12 wins. The Bears are going to be 8-8. I don't know how much wins that leaves the Lions, but it's not going to lead to many. And I think Matt Patricia probably is going to be axed at the end of this year.
Too bad. I'm a big Matt Patricia fan, Kailu.
But why? Patriots?
Patriots. He was a good defensive coordinator. But some people say Belichick was really the defensive coordinator.
Most of the coaches from New England don't work out. If you're looking at staff, you got to go to Andy Reid. Matt Nagy, those coaches to Andy Reid. Most of Belichick's staff don't end up working out because instead of trying to take, you know, they emulate Belichick so much, which is really good, but they don't try to be their own personality. So most of Belichick's staff, sadly, don't end up working out.
Good point. We'll see how the Giants coach does.
Yeah.
He's from New England. Okay.
Yeah, special teams.
Lastly, The Last Dance. I know you were not around. You were born after when Michael Jordan was with the Bulls. What are your thoughts so far after 4 episodes?
I thought the first two episodes, they were a little hard on Jerry Krause. The man was really smart. The short jokes, I have no problem with it. It's all jokes. We all sometimes make those jokes every now and then. Freddie Pippen was first harsh on him in the beginning of the episode. It's all funny games. But they were a little harsh on him in the first two episodes. And what made me more painful, he's not really here to defend himself. I mean, he's dead. So they were a little harsh on him in the first two episodes. That's like, in my opinion, it was great to see Michael Jordan's will to win in the first 4 episodes. And you know episode 3, it was really eye-opening. Dennis Rodman was allowed to go to Vegas in the middle of the season, where it just shows you how much has changed from back then to today. I mean, if you do that today, I mean, even if the 15th man, you know, did that today, they would be a scoria. And not to always compare things to like today, but watching that made me think, wow, Dennis Rodman was able to do a lot. I mean, he was a great player, terrific rebounder. But watching that, you know, made me feel like, man, players today really, really go through a lot. And it was just great to see Michael Jordan's will to win. And what stuck out to me was what Dennis Rodman was able to do in episode 3.
I do agree. They did win hard on Jerry Krause on the first 2 episodes. And then, of course, Dennis Rodman stole the show this past weekend. This weekend will be about Steve Kerr. What are you looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to continue to see Michael Jordan's will to win. Continue to see Phil Jackson and how that develops as a documentary. And to see if not on
Kailu, I'm losing you. New York reception is not good. I think Kailu is gone. Let's get him back in because I need to finish the show strong with him. We're talking about The Last Dance, how great it was, how it's one of the best series so far in basketball. Maybe the best, I can't say a movie, best documentary. And it's looking forward. Kailu.
Yeah, I'm back.
We had to restart that phone call.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes, finishing. Okay, Last Dance. Give us your last sentence of where you're looking forward to this weekend in The Last Dance.
I'm just looking forward to seeing how Phil Jackson continues to like develop, how he continues to be portrayed, seeing more Michael Jordan's world to win. So those are the two things that I'm looking forward to.
Something to definitely look at. I'm really enjoying it. I think every episode so far has been really good, really surprising. Some new chunks, and I'd like to hear Michael Wilbon afterwards talk about, I knew about that, but I couldn't report on it. So...
Yeah, sure.
It's quite interesting how things are kind of coming out, but it is one of the most exciting things in sports going on with the NFL draft and keeping us in a joyful mode or sports mode. Hopefully something will change this month. I know NASCAR is coming back this month, and I think a golf tournament might be back, if you remember. But anyways, random question, Kailu, who is better, O.J. Howard or Eric Ebron?
I would take O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard won 67% to Eric Ebron, 32%. Tampa Bay doesn't have a running back, don't they? They don't have good running backs.
Yeah, Tampa Bay could definitely do a little better. Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up because Tampa Bay could do a little better addressing the running back position. Maybe Foster or Leonard, spot for Leonard Fournette.
Wow.
He's not happy in Jacksonville. Rock for him there in Tampa.
That would be good. That would be a good pickup. I could see that happening, Kailu.
Especially, yeah, with Tom Brady and those weapons, I could definitely see that happening.
Because he has plenty of people to throw to, but you can't throw all game.
Yeah, true.
Kailu, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Dennis Rodman?
They can reach me at Kailu Burton on 12, and rest in peace to Gigi.
Gigi is Kobe's
daughter.
Yeah, Kobe's daughter. Her birthday was today. It's trending on Twitter. Watching The Last Dance, have you seen some parallels with Michael Jordan and Kobe a little bit?
Yeah, a lot of parallels. The moves are so identical. Minus, you know, five rings versus six. The moves are so identical. The way they talk, the way they think. It's just so identical. The will to just be great at everything that you touch. Whether it's Michael Jordan playing cards, him getting his teammates to, you know, what he did with rookies. Yeah, just the competitive nature and just how to be great at everything was really, really good to see.
Scottie Pippen would agree with you as well. You can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or at thesportscast1. There's a lot of free agency moves going on with the NFL. A lot of the draft is away. Now some, like, the remainder players are trying to get signed. Look out for Andy Dalton and Cam Newton, two big-name quarterbacks. James Winston got signed before those two, so James Winston was smart. Even though James Winston got offered some bigger contracts, I believe the Steelers I was hearing. But we'll probably never find out for sure. Anyways, stay up to date. Kailu Burton, you are the man. Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, as always.